leading us into truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Start. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 10. Hallelujah. Father, help us this morning. Lord, give me the words to speak that people need to hear. Father, they don't need opinions or philosophies or ideas. We need the Word of God, the uncompromised Word, the bold Word this morning. And Father, we thank You for utterance. We thank You for boldness. I thank You that what You want to be accomplished will be accomplished. Father, whatever You want to do, whatever You want to say, Father, interrupt us if You must. We'll just be obedient to You, Father God. And Lord, speak through me this morning to hit bullseyes in people's hearts so that I say something that is specific to what they're going through, specific to their lives, and it'll be a sign unto them that You love them and that You're leading them and guiding them and directing them into more. And Father, we'll give You the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, of course, this, I think, is our last service on authority. And if you haven't heard all three, I'll tell you, it's my heart breaks for people that haven't been here because if you don't hear it, you don't know it. If you don't know it, you won't act on it. And so I thank God for live stream, right? When things come up, we can go back. And I encourage you to go back and look at the first 3 weeks. You know, a lot of people just go through life getting tossed around like a rag doll, and they don't know that they don't have to do that and that they can stand up for themselves and take authority. But if you don't know those and those aren't solidified in your heart, you'll just let things come your way and you'll just think that whatever the hand has dealt you in life, you'll just be okay with it and you'll put up with it. Well, praise God, God's got a different plan for us. Amen. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 10 here this morning. It says, "Behold, I said unto them, behold, Satan is lightning fall from heaven. He said, behold, I give unto you power." Now, if you've been with us, you know that that word was incorrectly translated by the translators because there's two words for power in this verse, and they don't mean the same thing. They have two different Greek words for them. It should have been translated, "Behold, I, Jesus, give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Well, that's the will of God. Praise the Lord. Whether or not people are living it, whether or not the majority are living it, or whether or not the majority aren't living it, that is still the will of God. And it's important to remember that just because something's not taking place in a mass majority doesn't mean that it's not the will of God. People are dying and going to hell every single day, yet salvation's the will of God. Just because the majority of the body are sick and broken down and tormented in their mind doesn't mean that heaven on earth is not God's plan for them. We see, can you pull that verse back up, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19? We see that this verse here, that the will of God is that we should go through life with nothing hurting us. That we're having authority over all the power of the enemy. Well, when you look at some of the things the enemy does, he's the author of sickness. He's the author of disease. He's the author of torment. He's the author of poverty. All these things that Jesus paid for on the cross. He didn't just pay for your spiritual life, He paid for your natural life as well. And the Bible says that He has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And when you use that authority, then the rest of that verse comes to pass in your life, where nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, you won't have the "nothing shall by any means hurt you" until you use the authority. Notice it doesn't say, "I've given the pastor to use the authority for you. I've given your spouse to use the authority for you. I've given mom and dad to use the authority for you." Now, parents will for a certain time, but there's a point where kids grow up and they got to take the reins. Praise the Lord. And a good parent will teach their kids that. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to definitely raise Caleb and Abby and teach them, listen, you have to stand on your own someday. You have to use faith. You're going to have to use your authority. Because whether or not you go through life victorious has everything to do with if you use your authority or not, not if I use my authority. It's not for Jesus. Well, Jesus will just do something about it. No, Jesus isn't here anymore. He's delegated that authority to you. And so you got to become skillful in this authority. And I'll dare say this. I don't care if you've been here for the 4 straight weeks. You haven't got it all yet. You need to, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. This is one of those topics that you should go back over and over and over and get the book by Kenneth Hagin called The Believer's Authority and get that stuff so you know it like the back of your hand. Why? Because authority is everything. Without authority, you can't have faith. You won't be bold for faith if you don't have authority. Well, it all starts with authority. So we need to know, and it's a topic that is very unknown in the body of Christ, and very few people know what it's about. And, you know, just a real quick recap, like two minutes here, if even that. We found in the first service that authority is everything, kind of what we're talking about now, that you have to have a recognition and an understanding that you being dominant in life has everything to do with what you know and what you don't know, your authority. We saw that in week one. In week two, we saw that we have an adversary, don't we? The Bible calls him the devil. That old serpent of old, he's the one out causing us all the trouble. He's the one trying to hurt us and make it so life's tough. There is an enemy. He steals. He kills and destroys. But the Bible interestingly says enough that he told us to do something about our adversary, didn't he? He told us to do something about our adversary. Wouldn't it be something if the Bills were going up to play against somebody else and here they're getting on the field and let's say the Bills were playing the Jets or somebody, and all of a sudden Rex Ryan, before they're ready to play, the coach gets on the phone and calls Bill Belichick and says, "Coach, we need you to come down here and do something about the Jets." How stupid would that be? No, it's their job to do something about their opponent. And we saw four places that Jesus, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and James all said, "You do something about the devil." Not what we've been taught growing up in Sunday schools, not what the majority of the body of Christ. "Oh Lord, do something. Help me, Lord. Oh, do something about the devil." And he said, "I already did. I gave you authority. You do something about it." Hallelujah. And then we saw in the third week, last week, that this adversary that we have, this devil that's after us, praise God, he's a defeated foe. The Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse 15 that Jesus spoiled. One translation says disarmed. One translation says stripped. One translation says put to naught. One translation says paralyzed the works of the enemy. He's been stripped. It's like if America was going to war and against their enemy and they said they don't have any tanks. They don't have any guns. They don't have any airplanes or drones or surface-to-air missiles and no. What are those big boats on? What are those things up? The aircraft carriers, you know, the big boats. They don't have any of those things, glory to God. America, oh, this is going to be easy. We're going to walk right in there and trample them. Praise God. Well, the Bible says that he's been stripped. He has no weapons anymore. He's been put to naught. And you might think, well, that was Jesus, but the Bible tells us in Colossians 1 that we've been translated out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we've been given the authority over the enemy. So praise God, nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Big whoop-de-doo that we have an adversary. He's defeated and he's weaponless. Yeah, amen. Well, then that begs the question, if he's weaponless, how can he still do so much damage? How can he still cause so much trouble? Well, it's the same way if America went into a war against an opponent, or a foe that laid down their weapons, didn't have any. But America just went there and said, "We surrender." We lay down. Even though they didn't have any weapons, it would be foolish to do so. But that army would be able to take over America if America just said, "Take us, here we are." Offered no resistance, no pushback, no fight at all. They'd be able to take them, wouldn't they? Same thing with the body of Christ. Now I'm here to tell you that the devil needs your cooperation. Just like God needs your cooperation. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. This is the verse I said we were going to really hit on today. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Yeah, praise the Lord. I'll just say that because this just came up with the enemy. Anytime that there's strife or any times of walking out of love, anytime there's division, anytime there's ever, this is good for spouses, anytime there's any finger pointing or anything, do you know who's behind that spirit? It ain't God. It's the devil. Look at what Adam and Eve did. You did this, you did that. Well, who was behind the whole thing? The devil. God is a God of peace. God is a God of love. Anytime there's strife and division and bickering or bitterness or anything like that or unforgiveness, it's not God. And you need to get out of that realm and back into the realm of love. Hallelujah. It says, and that's one way that the devil works, by the way, is the Bible says when there's strife, there's evil, or there's confusion in every evil work. Anytime strife is allowed in any situation, the door has been opened to the enemy who wants to come in. Let's close the door in those areas. Amen. That's utterance from the Holy Ghost, so just receive that and be a doer of the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says this, lest Satan, our adversary, should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So the Bible says that the way that Satan won't get a foothold on us or won't get one up on us is to not be ignorant of his devices. Ephesians calls them the wiles of the devil. In Corinthians, he calls them the devices of the devil. You could also read it this way. If you're ignorant of Satan's devices, he will get an advantage over you. Do you see that his advantage is dependent upon you? It's not dependent upon the power that he has. It's not God took a break. It's not God decided to take a day off and just watch you go through hell on earth. No, Satan having an advantage on you has everything to do with what you do or don't do. If you're ignorant of his devices, he'll have an advantage over you. If you're not ignorant of them, he won't have an advantage over you. So it's all about him and what you do with what he has, praise God. And we know this, the devil cannot just do anything that he wants to do. If he could, why are we here this morning? Because this morning, he's in the corner huddling just a pee in his pants. It's just a running down his leg. He's a trembling and a scared this morning. Why? Because we're unveiling or unmasking him this morning. If you are ignorant walking into this place, you're going to walk out of here in the learned. You're not going to be ignorant anymore. And he's scared because he's losing his grip on you. The advantage that he has had over you in your life is going away. He's cowering. He's doing everything in his power to stop this service, but I'm just here to tell you, devil, you might as well just go over there and just keep a peeing down your leg, because we're going forward to the things of God. I know I'm not very eloquent up here speaking, not very dignified, but that's just the things that come to me, and I just preach it the way it comes to me. I'm sorry. I'm not an Ivy League graduate or anything like that. Actually, I better stop saying that. I'll keep that one to myself. But anyways, he's not happy. He can't just do anything he wants to. You think he liked us telling on him this morning? No. Why didn't he just kill us all before we came? Because he can't. I don't know if you know this or not, but Adam and us have a similar position in life at one time. At one time, Adam was given dominion to rule and reign over planet Earth. Well, the Bible says in Romans 5 through Jesus that we're to reign in life as well. Same thing. Reign means to have dominion, to prevail over. Same thing that God told Adam, behold, I give you dominion. So it's interesting is that we were both in the same position. Adam was in a position to rule and reign. We're in a position to rule and reign. Well, in both places, we can learn a whole lot about what the devil tries to do to us by what the devil did to Adam. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. I want to show you this. Because if the devil could do anything he wanted to, he would. Praise the Lord. Now, what you need to understand is in Genesis chapter 3, we are at the place where Adam and Eve, God is not even the supreme ruler anymore of planet Earth. He has given, in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 28, he has passed down the authority, kind of like what Jesus did for us when he said, behold, I give unto you authority. What are you going to do with it? He gave authority to Adam and Eve. We're at that place now. So Adam and Eve are the rulers of planet Earth. Whatever happens is going to be on their watch. It says, now the serpent, in verse 1, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you won't die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. From this point on, everything changed. Well, I want to show you what changed. Go with me and hold your place here, but go with me to Romans chapter 5. I just referenced this verse. Romans 5 and verse 17. Praise the Lord. Romans 5 and verse 17. Let's see what happened here on that fateful day in the garden. It says, "For if by one man's offense," the one man it's talking about is mankind, Adam here. He says, "If by one man's offense death reigned." Do you see that there? Reigned. That word in the Greek means to exercise kingly power. Well, is it the king of a land signifies somebody that's in charge? They set the decrees. They're the highest of the land. They're the ones with the most authority. Wouldn't you say that a king has that? That's kind of what they represent, seated on that throne. Well, the Bible says that when Adam sinned, what happened was death or sin now exercised or took over like a king and started to reign. What happened was Adam and Eve submitted the authority that God gave them and thereby delegated now unto the devil by being obedient unto them. And the Bible tells us in Romans 5 that when that happened, when that first sin happened and the disobedience from God, they came out from their authority and gave it to the devil, and the devil now became the ruler of the world. And we know that, right? 2 Corinthians says that the devil is the god of this world. The book of Ephesians says that he's the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4 that the devil took Jesus up onto a high mountain and in a moment's time showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, "All this will be yours if you'll fall down and worship me." Well, the only reason the devil had it to offer Jesus was because it was his to offer him. He was and is the ruler of the kingdoms of this world. Now that's nothing to be afraid of, because look at what the Bible goes on to say for us. It says, "Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So just because the devil's in charge of the planet, he's not in charge of the Christian. Glory to God. We ought to reign and rule and reign. So don't be afraid of that. When you take your authority, he won't have any place in you. Now go back to Genesis 3. So we see here what happened in the garden that day. There was a shift of power, wasn't there? I mean, a dramatic change. That death never was to be on planet Earth. There never was to be thorns and thistles. There never was to be pain in childbearing. There never was to be the suffering that there was. But because of sin, death took over. And you'll notice something in the Bible. The lifespans got shorter and shorter and shorter. Why? Because at first there was no death. And so then when death entered, there had to be a time where somebody would die, and people were living for hundreds of years. But as death took over the planet and things got darker and darker and darker, lifespans got shorter and shorter and shorter. And so we see a huge balance in power. Now this is what I want to say to you. If the devil, we know that the sin committed was the eating of the fruit, that God said, don't eat from the one tree. Isn't it just like people to touch the one thing they're not supposed to? Isn't it just like them? I mean, Abby D does it all the time. Abby, stay away from that. It's like there's just this super strong magnetic force that's causing her just to not be able to stop. And she just goes. That's what it was like in that tree that day. Don't touch the one tree. Don't eat the fruit. The one thing that they weren't supposed to do, they did it. That was the offense. They disobeyed God. Well, if the devil knew that by the eating of that tree, of that fruit of that tree, would cause him to have supreme control of the world, not just because of this, of a fruit. It wasn't that the fruit had more power. It was the disobedience of God entering and letting sin reign and have authority. If he knew that all he needed to do was get them to disobey God and eat the fruit, why didn't he force them to do it? If the devil can do anything he wants, why didn't he make them eat the tree? Because he can't do that. The only way that the devil can get you to do anything is to deceive you first. The devil uses deception. If he could do anything he wanted, why does he have to deceive us first? It's because he can't. But once he deceives us, and that's what he did to Adam and Eve, didn't he? Let's take a look at that. Genesis 3, in verse 3, she said, "But the fruit of the tree which is in the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Did God say that? He sure did. She was quoting scripture. She was saying, God said this. It's like when you're in a trial. She was in a trial here. It's like when you're in a financial trial. What does the word say about that? The blessing of the Lord will make me rich. Jesus became poor so that I could be rich. My God shall supply all my needs. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant, right? When you're going through a physical test and trial, when it looks contrary to what the Bible's saying, what does the word say? My God shall heal all my diseases. By His stripes I am the healed of the Lord. He Himself took my infirmities. By His word I am healed. Hallelujah. Well, it's the same thing. She's quoting the word in the midst of a trial. The devil's coming to steal from her, and she says, God said, don't touch it. Now, isn't it just like that deceptive little guy to say in verse 4? And the serpent said unto the woman, you won't die. Wow. Contrary to what God said. And not only did he come and say something that was contrary to what the word said, he sweetened the deal a little bit in verse 5. He said, for God knows that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes will be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Oh, not enough just to lie to him. Now he's saying, if you'll do what he said not to do, you'll be in a better place. You'll be like a god. And what they should have done is said, that's not what the word says, devil. That's not what the word says. The word says, if I eat it, I'll die. I'm not going to do that and squash his head out. But what did they start to do? God. Imagining in their mind. Yeah, I'm going to say that. You ready for this? I love it. The devil will not only give you lies, but he'll sweeten the deal at times. He'll tell people, I know, I've seen this happen. It's so sad. People will increase because they've been faithful. They'll get their end of the year giving report. And the devil will come into them and say, are you sure you need to give all that money? Do you know what you could have done with all that money you gave to the church? And people start to think, wow, the things I could have bought, the debt I could have paid to disobey God, but he sweetens it. Oh, all the money that I have. But the word says to do this, that when you give, you'll get more. But the devil, do you see how he works? You see, he does it with all sorts of things. He'll come in and tell you in your mind, you know, you're going through a sickness. I don't know if that word of healing really works. You're not getting any better. Your money's getting less and less. The situation's not turning around. And he'll start talking to you, and people will start thinking on those things and start imagining it. And if he can deceive you, what's he doing? He's casting his line of deception out, just trying to get you to take it. Well, we know when they took it, everything changed. Their authority went out the window. So I want to tell you today, the only power that the devil has left, because we see that he's stripped, he's been put to naught, he has been paralyzed and disarmed. Get this, it'll change your life. This is maybe one of the top five messages that people need to know in their life going forward. If you're going to be successful, you better get an A+ in this message. I'm telling you, you will not be successful apart from having an A+ in this message. Your life will be tormented for the rest of your life if you don't get this stuff down. It's that serious. I don't say that very often to that extreme. The whole Word of God is serious. But I'm telling you, this right here, you need to get this down like you don't need, like you know it, like you could quote it in your sleep. The only power the devil has left is the power of suggestion. That's all he's got. He can't force you to do anything. He can't just rain terror down in your life. He has to deceive you first, because you're the master of your own life. You're the God of your own life. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm saying in the sense of what comes your way is more up to you than it is God. You are going to bring blessing or cursing into your life based on what you do and don't do. And he only can use it through deception. How did he get Adam and Eve to hand off the greatest thing that he wanted, which was to be ruler of the planet? He deceived them. He started whispering in their ear, you won't die, you won't die. In fact, you'll be better. You won't die, you'll be better. You won't die, you'll be better. And what'd they do? Oh, wow, okay, that sounds good. That sounds good, let's do that. Didn't obey God's word, and look what happened to him. Everything changed. Now go with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 16. We've heard this before, but we need to get it down. We need to get it down. Ephesians, faith comes by hearing, not heard. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Praise God. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, that sounds like he's got quite an arsenal. A fiery dart. Well, now let's find out what a fiery dart is. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Let's find out what a fiery dart is. Because that looks like, well, my goodness, the Bible contradicts itself. In one place, it tells us that he's stripped and has no power. And in another place, it tells us that he has fiery darts. Well, they're fiery darts that don't have much behind them unless you let them. Praise God. You know I can light a candle in my house for a birthday cake. And that candle in and of itself, handled properly, won't have any problems. Put it in there, blow it out, run it under some water, throw it away, that's the end of story. But if I throw that candle maybe in the garbage lit, or if I just let it sit around and maybe toss it on the carpet or give it to Caleb or somebody, has potential to do great harm, doesn't he? Doesn't it? A fiery dart. Yeah, absolutely. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. Now I'm going to show you what a fiery dart is. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. If you don't master this in your life will be a mess. It'll be tormented. Well, how do I know? Because I am a grand example of it. It is the one area that I have struggled in more than any area. It's the area that my pastor, every single time I'm with him, drills me on because he knows I'm very analytical. I'm a thinker. And it doesn't help me in times. It can be good, but it can be really bad. The mind is a terrible place to live. It's a terrible place to live. And I've had to learn that the hard way. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 says, we don't walk in the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh, is what I'm trying to say. It says, our fight's not in the fleshy realms. That sounds like Ephesians where it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But then it goes on, it says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare. Now what are weapons for? Weapons are to what? Fight an enemy. Right? You're given certain weapons. Right? If I know that the enemy has tanks, and the tanks are my foes, I'm not going to be given a slingshot with rocks. Even though that might be a weapon for other things, I'm not going to be given a weapon for that tank, that slingshot. It's not going to do much, right? Bounce right off it. So weapons are given to fight an enemy, and if you're going to be well equipped, you got to have the right weapons. Well, do you think God would give you the right weapons for your fight? Absolutely he would. So let's find out. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what are our weapons for? But mighty through God, so they're mighty weapons, to the, or a newer translation would say for the, basically saying I'm giving you weapons for the. It's like this. If an army guy would give you a machine gun, I'm giving you this weapon for the purpose of whatever. Or if you're a police officer, here's your gun for the purpose of this. Here's a taser for this reason. Well, he said, I'm giving you weapons for the, now here it is, pulling down of strongholds. So the tanks in your life bearing down on you that the devil's trying to take you out with are strongholds. That's the weapons we're given, is to fight the strongholds. So the devil's goal is to get you into a stronghold. If he can get you into a stronghold, you can't do very much. He's trying to get you into a stronghold. Well, in verse 5, it tells us how to get rid of the strongholds, but it also tells us how the strongholds come. Are you ready? Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where are thoughts and imaginations located? In your head. You will never, ever be able to live a blessed life until you get between your ears straightened out. Ever. Your life will never be any better than your thought life. Listen, I'm telling you, listen up. I'm talking about someone that struggled with anxiety, struggled with depression. I mean, I just struggled. My thought life would go crazy. My life has not even begun to get better until I started to put a lasso on what's between my ears. It has everything to do with how you think. The Bible says that casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. So what is a fiery dart? A fiery dart is simply this, a thought. The devil, exactly what he did with Adam and Eve, he launched a fiery dart in them by means of a thought. What did he say? You won't die, and you'll be better off. That's the only way he got Only thing he could do, he couldn't force them to eat it, couldn't hold them down, didn't give them sickness without their permission. You know what I mean? He didn't just take all their money and get them to obey and promise them money. He lied to them. He deceived them. Imaginations came. They didn't check their thoughts. They became strongholds to where they could not resist that fruit, and they just had to eat it. And they did, and it changed everything. A fiery dart is a thought. Now look at what the devil does with those thoughts. He exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. The knowledge of God is the Word of God. He tries to exalt his thoughts above the knowledge of God. Well, let's go back to Adam and Eve. Didn't he do that? God told Adam and Eve, don't eat it. That was the word, right? Don't eat it, you'll die. The devil comes and says, you can eat it, you won't die. He exalted himself above what God said. It's the same thing when you're going through financial problems and the thoughts are coming, oh, you'll never get out of debt. Oh, you'll never pay your bills. Oh, this is over for you. Oh, this sickness will take you out. Oh, your kids will do this. Oh, this is going to happen. All these things contrary to the Word of God, all that is the devil exalting himself over what the Bible says, hoping that you'll grab on to what he says. Think about it over and over. Start imagining what you look like on your deathbed. Start imagining what it looks like at your funeral. Start imagining you're reading on Google or Wikipedia what this disease is and what Google medical doctors say or whatever and all the worst things. And you're just running with it. And what's it look like to have my house foreclosed on? What's it look like packing the boxes and moving out and moving into a place that doesn't meet our needs and losing our vehicle and not being able to feed our kids? And you're laying there rehearsing those over, and all you're doing is rehearsing over and over the devil's plan in your head, talking about it, pacing the floors, wringing your hands, laying there at night, losing sleep, constantly rehearsing over and over until it becomes a stronghold and you're so gripped that you can't do anything blessed. That's how it happens. He suggests through deception. His suggestions are always deceptive against the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells you how to deal with it. It says casting down imaginations. Any imaginations that comes that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you shouldn't think on that. Right. Well, the doctor's report says this. So what? What does the Word say? Right. Well, my checkbook says this. My job says this. The economy says this. So what? What does the Word say? What does the Word say? No, that's what you do. And people get in their heads and they start thinking. You see, in the body of Christ, there is such a poverty mentality that has gripped the body of Christ. Yet the Bible, all over the place, talks about your blessing and how you're to be prosperous, how you're to have more than enough. But we've been gripped because what have we thought our whole life? Well, grandma was poor, mama was poor, I've never had enough, I got all this debt, bills are this, the economy's this, the news is saying this. And you're imagining all these things in your head, and it's become a stronghold in your life, and you have such a poverty mentality. Same with sickness. Healing is so far away from some people in the body of Christ because you've been told your whole life, you just get sick in life. That's just the way it goes. Grandma had it. Daddy had it. I got to have it. It comes right down through the line. Listen, there's no such thing as a generational curse when it comes to the Christian. You have new DNA now. You have new DNA. I got the blood of my daddy now. I had a whole new makeup. Praise the Lord. I don't care what grandma had, daddy. Now, the devil can use those things if you'll give in to those things. But I'm telling you, this is why people are so gripped. I'll never be healed. I just have to be sick my whole life. Why? Because you've imagined that your whole life. That's what your whole life has been. Why don't we exert that much energy in laying there at night and rehearsing what the Word says? And walking all day long and talking about how he meets our needs and provides for us and talking out of our mouth how he's the blesser and supernatural this and supernatural that instead of, oh, we'll never make it. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, that's going to look bad. Oh, God, I don't want to see that happen. And it becomes a stronghold and you can't get out. And you can't get out. Let me tell you something about a thought. All thought is a seed waiting for a harvest. Isn't it interesting that, see, the Bible is not by mistake. He says every thought. You let an imagination and a thought that's against the Word of God unchecked will become a stronghold. It'll become a stronghold. You know, I like this example, the old cowboy and Indian movies, right? Cowboys are, you know, holed up in a barn maybe, and they're shooting. And the Indians are on the outside of that barn, and they're launching fiery arrows into that place, right? I know this, they don't need to get every arrow to stick. All they need to get is one to stick that gets untouched and unattended to, and it can start a fire that can take the whole. The devil just needs to just sit. Sometimes he'll sit right there. on your shoulder and just machine gun thoughts in you. You're sick. You're not going to do this. The doctor said this. You're going to break up. The relationship, this, the family, your kids, and just boom, 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 boom. And those unchecked become strongholds. You can't even let one of them get a hold of you. He said to take every thought to the obedience of Christ. What does that look like? It looks like taking your lasso out. And when a thought comes that says you're broke and you're not going to make it, or that you're going to be sick, or that this, whatever's contrary to the Word of God, you get that lasso out and you wrangle that thought and you pull it and you bring it to the Word. And you say, wait a second, that's not what the Word says. I reject that thought. I'm not going to think that way. That's not the Bible. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? What you do with your thought life will be your success or your downfall. And I've had to learn that the hard way because I am so analytical. I am a thinker, and I don't mean that to be like, well, I'm smart. I mean, there are some dumb things I think about. And I just get in my head about some things, and my pastor has warned me over. And he's been so right. Got to get out of your mind. Got to get out of your mind. What are you doing with your thought life? What's your thought life like? So many people have such an undisciplined mind. Just whatever comes in, just start thinking on that and start meditating on that. You got to stop that. Your thoughts need to be Word of God-centered only. Because let me tell you this is the pattern. It starts with a thought, thoughts become beliefs become words, and words become what you have. Whatever you think, you'll believe. Whatever you believe, you'll speak. Whatever you speak, you'll have. Yeah, that's how it works. It all starts with the thought life. Every thought to the... Let's just put it on you right now. What thoughts have you been thinking about your finances? What thoughts have you been thinking about... Now, it doesn't matter what the natural says. The Bible says still believe the Word over the natural. That's called faith, by the way. What thoughts are you believing over the doctor's report that you've been given? Are you rehearsing that in your mind all the time and how bad it's going to be? Can I say something that's going to rock your world? Are you ready? I want to say it so bad. I'm going to say it right now. Praise the Lord. Symptoms in your body... And when there's seemingly not enough money and circumstances that are crazy bad, do not trouble the person who's thinking right. The person that's thinking right can get any doctor's report and not be moved. The person that's thinking right can get any financial report and not be moved, if you're thinking right. Say, Pastor, you arrogant 36-year-old think you know it all. How could you say that? You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm going through. No, but I know what the Word of God says. Right. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. We're almost done. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Your life is not dependent upon the money, upon the doctor's report, and upon everything going honky-dory for it to be blessed. Is honky-dory even good? I don't know if I'd want honky-dory. I got to find out the definition of that and see if I even want that before I speak it over your lives. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Well, if I had enough money, I'd be peaceful. Wrong. Well, if I had enough health, I'd be okay. Wrong. If everything was perfect in my life, wrong. Just so you know, it never will be. It never will be. And if you're waiting for it to get perfect, then you might as well be one of those old-time religious people that are just waiting to get to the sweet by and by, because that's when perfection comes. Until then, there's going to be a foe, there's going to be an adversary trying to keep you out of the blessings, and you're always going to have to use your faith, and you're always going to have to push back. Always, 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 always going to have to push back. Praise God. Well, look what it says in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Let's shut that arrogant, gray-headed guy up here who just doesn't know what he's talking about. You will keep him in perfect peace. How many of you want that for your life? Perfect peace. That means there's nothing lacking. I will keep him in perfect peace whose bank account is full. Oh, I'm not sure why I read it that way. I will keep him in perfect peace whose body is perfectly healed and whole. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, everybody say mind, mind is stayed or fixed on thee. Talking about him, the Word. Perfect peace comes from a result of you thinking the Bible. Because when you're thinking the Bible, when the symptoms come, it don't bother you because you know the final answer says, I'm healed. Right. When financial troubles come, it doesn't bother you when you're thinking right because you know, I got a supply. Yeah. All has to do with what's between your ears. If you don't start checking your mind, you'll never be blessed in this life, ever. You'll be as blessed as your mind goes. Yeah. Be as blessed as your mind goes. And it's interesting that the devil, have you ever had a situation like that where it seems like it's a machine gun of thoughts just bombarding you? Well, I've learned something, that just because he says it more than once doesn't make it more true. Let me give you a dumb example. Can I give you a dumb example? Hey, Jake, you just turned into an alien. You look really funny. Look at Jake. He just turned into a green alien. Look at him back there. What's that like, Jake, to be a green alien? That must really stink, huh? What's your boss is going to think about that? A green alien. I mean, he looks like just a big old booger back there, doesn't he? I could say that through the whole service. Oh, look at Jake. We've got our alien, our resident alien back there, Jake. You think that's going to trouble him? He knows that ain't true. Just because I've said it, repeated sayings don't make it more true. And we think that just because it's said more and more and more and more, then it must be true. Well, you're poor, you're not going to be able to pay your bills. Doesn't make it true. Doesn't make it any more true. Well, you know, you're going to die. You're going to be sick. Grandma did this. It happened to this. It happened to this guy. You're getting on the phone to all these people. That's a problem. You're hearing too many different voices in your head. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Right? Because what you hear is what you believe. And what you believe is what you'll say. So be careful, little ears. I just made that up. I don't know. It's true, though. Be careful, little ears, what you hear, because what you hear is what you believe. What you believe is what you say. What you say is what you have. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And you're getting on the phone hearing all this, and then imaginations are running wild. Running wild. Listen, you can't stop the devil from talking to you, but you can stop from believing what he says. I can't stop him from talking to me. He's going to talk. He's a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. He's got a mouth on it, but I can stop from believing what he says to me. Amen. The devil, that's not true. That's not true. And isn't it interesting that he wouldn't tell something to Jake like you've turned into a green alien? That's not going to trip him up. That's not something that's believable. He's going to use something that's close to your life. He's going to use your kids. He's going to use your money. Something, he's going to jump on the coattails of what the natural is saying so then it becomes more believable to you. Then you'll bite it. And then you'll believe it. But it doesn't, that's why this is always your final authority. This is always your final authority. Welcome to Christianity, where the natural sometimes doesn't look anything like this, but that's why he gave us faith, so we can make the natural look like this. Yeah, he'll jump on that. Well, you know, you can't pay your bills. Well, you know, this is happening in your relationship. Well, this is happening with your kids. So what? The word says this. You know, you can't stop the devil from talking to you, but you sure can outlast him. Just stand your stinking ground. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted 40 days? Now, the Bible only records 3 temptations, but the Word says all the while he was tempted. He was tempted the whole time he was out there. The Bible only records 3 for us. But isn't it amazing that Jesus, after the first temptation, the devil didn't leave? He came right back again, and then the second time, still didn't leave? He's going to keep coming and coming and coming. Didn't mean Jesus was doing anything wrong. Stop thinking you're doing something wrong because the fire's turned up. You could be doing everything right. Yeah. The devil just kept coming. But you know what? Jesus said, I can outlast this fool. Amen. I got what it takes. He just stood his ground. I told the story last night about me and my sister. I mean, we had some fights growing up. She's 3 years younger than me. I threw a remote control at her as hard as I could one time. I am so thankful at this day. See, don't get any ideas, Josh. I'm not saying it was right. He's thinking about throwing one at his sister now back there. Praise. And I whipped one at her head. I'm so thankful she ducked. That thing hit the wall and pieces everywhere. One time when she was little, she loved Oreo cookies, but she also hated tight spaces. I threw an Oreo cookie in the bottom of a sleeping bag. She went crawling in. I closed that thing off and just held there while she screamed and cried. Your sweet, loving pastor. It was so funny. Oh, God, that was funny. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, one time we were playing hide and seek. I said, hide here, put her in a cupboard, lock the door, and didn't come back and get her for a while. I know, you're not going to come here anymore, are you? Or at least not play games with me. But you know, one thing I could do is we'd have these games where we try to get the last word in. And, you know, just saying some sound at the dinner table or before we go to bed or something. And just because, you know, you just when you're younger, you do those things. One thing she couldn't win, I'll be here all night saying words. And she knew, she got to the point. She knows. I've tried to play games like that with her. She said, I'm not playing with you. It's just, yeah. I just stand my ground. See, just stand your ground and outlast him. Just stand here. He can't stand up to what you have. He'll keep coming. He's persistent, but eventually he has to back off because he doesn't have what you have. Just stand your ground. Stand your ground. Don't give in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 12:2, and we'll close with this. Romans 12:2. Better get your mind renewed. Renewed to what? The Word. The Word. Stop letting all those stupid thoughts in your head. Stop it. Stop it. Start filling it with the Bible. Renew your mind. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You want to be transformed from poverty to prosperity, from sickness to health, from depression and fear to peace and joy? Well, then you're going to have to do what the Word says. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind needs to be brainwashed. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be washed with the Word. All those filthy stains of the world and the devil's thoughts need to be wiped out of there. And now remember, and I'm going to close my Bible to really show you I'm done, but I want to show you something. The Bible says the devil's goal is a stronghold, right? You know, if I had just my, thumb and index finger on this, and I asked Vinny to pull that out, it's going to be very easy for him. Now, it's probably still going to be a lot easier than some people, but if I grabbed it with both hands and tight, said, Vinny, get that out of my hand, it's still going to be, it's going to be way more of a struggle than just doing that. See, the devil, he gets people in strongholds by the more thoughts that you've taken, the more imaginations you have, the grip gets tighter and tighter and tighter. Yeah. I told you I was going through a trial one time where to bust that thing off me, I had to listen to the Word of God, the same message for a year, over 1,000 times. Now, it broke off me before the year, but I wanted to just make sure. See, some of you are so poverty-minded, some of you are so fearful. There's some people in here, you're so fearful. You're so afraid to move with God. You're so afraid to do anything that God has you to do. Why? You've just entertained those fearful thoughts the whole time. Some of you have a feeling you're going to be sick. That's just the way it's going to be the rest of your life. The thought of divine health blows your mind like that is so far away. The thought of some of you being so free to pay all your bills, have enough left over, do something fun with your family, and to be out of debt, that's like, oh, that's just never going to happen. What's that called? Stronghold. And the only way you're going to bust a stronghold, see, if Vinny has his hands on that phone gripping it tight, I can't just come over with my finger and my thumb and try to pull that out. See, a stronghold is going to require more effort. I'm going to have to really get on there. I'm going to have to put my whole body in. I'm going to maybe have to tickle him or something and get him to let him go. Or do something tricky. I'm going to have to do something, right? I'm not just going to be like, oh, just get that out of his hands. See, some of you are so gripped, you have to recognize what's the stronghold. And then you need to take the time and do the only thing that will bust that stronghold off is bringing those thoughts to the Word. Spending much time in the Word of God. See, Pastor, I don't have a time for a whole year to listen to a message. Well, I would ask you this. Do you have time to be sick? Because I don't. Do you have time to be poor? Because I don't. Do you have time to live with depression and feel like killing yourself every day? I don't. Do you have time to be fearful your whole life? And miserable and tormented. If you want those things, change them. The Word will bust that thing off. The anointing destroys the yoke. Say, what is my stronghold? It's finances. It's health. It's fear of my kids. It's relationship. Whatever it is, get in the Word and saturate yourself over and over. And that thing will bust off you supernaturally. It will. Stop trying to fight it in the natural realm. It'll bust off you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word this morning. Oh, Lord, we need to do something with our minds. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you for your love and kindness. You're so generous to us, Father, so gracious to us. Thank you, Lord. Father, you're just trying to get good things into our lives, but you need our cooperation. The devil doesn't have anything on us if we'll think right. All he's trying to do when he gives us those thoughts contrary to the Word is destroy us. So, Father, help people to recognize. Help people to see that they've been entertaining a lot of things that are wrong. They've been entertaining a lot of wrong thoughts, a lot of wrong things that are, maybe they have strongholds they didn't even know. Well, Father, they're going to have to do some heavy lifting to get that thing done. And it just comes by saturation in the Word of God. Father, thank you for the power of the Word. We see the Word's power against the devil in the wilderness. He couldn't stand up to it. Now, he didn't go right away, but he couldn't. If you can outlast him, if you can stick with it and be faithful, he can't stand up to it. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the life that you've offered us. Thank you for the life you've provided for us and prepared for us. We bless you, Lord. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, please no looking around. Now, if you've already accepted Jesus into your heart, you don't have to do it again. You say, well, I had a bad week. Well, just repent. Well, I had a bad year. Just repent. He didn't leave you nor forsake you. He didn't go anywhere. But you know, there are people, I don't know everybody personally, and there's people listening by live stream and that might be listening in the archives down the road. So if you want to receive Jesus, let me just tell you, to be a candidate for heaven or qualified for heaven, all you have to do is believe that Jesus came, believe that He died and rose again, and ask Him into your life. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. If you're in here and you can say, I've never truly made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've gone to church and I've tried to be a good person, but I've never really made Jesus the Lord of my life. We won't embarrass you. We won't have you come up front or stand up or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But if you're here where I can see you and you want to receive Jesus, would you just slip your hand in there if you've never done it before? Anybody in here at all? Well, I grew up in a Christian home. That don't matter. Well, I'm a good person. There's a lot of people that do worse. That doesn't matter. You need to accept Jesus once and for all. Anybody at all in here? Father, I don't see any hands in the building, but if by chance someone was shy, or if by chance someone's listening right now, or if by chance in the future somebody listens to this message by archives, Father, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord, and that they would cry out to you and ask you to come into their heart. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for what's ahead for us. We're going to make some changes today. We're going to start being careful to what we're imagining, to what thoughts we're letting in our life. We're only going to allow word thoughts in there. We'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, there's nursery. You are dismissed. Have a good week.